Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 12, and I'll start by reading. Verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and you comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, that you inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. Seems very insignificant, seems very small, but there's a lot of truth here. And that's what we want to look at. As I mentioned earlier, that chapter 12 should be attached to chapter 11. And I'll go back to this last verse of chapter 11 and show you how it flows together. And that 16th verse says, And there shall be a highway, or literally a higher way, okay, for the remnant of his people. There's a higher way for the remnant, for the fellowship of the third day, for the fellowship of the tabernacle's feast, okay, for the perfection of Mount Zion, that third realm, that third covenant that he talks of. That is for the remnant of his people. Not everybody, but for the ones that are first fruit that God has called, which shall be left from Assyria, like as it was to Israel in the day in which he came up out of the land of Egypt. Okay? When they came out of Egypt, they had a way to go that God provided for them, didn't he? It took care of them. He provided them food, protection, shelter, everything they needed in their journey.
Same way today.
Same way today. All we have to do is be obedient and follow his lead. And Jesus said, follow me. Paul said, mark those who follow Christ and follow them. The pattern's always the same. If you follow God in what pattern he has laid out for you, he will provide everything you need in life. Now, he didn't say he's going to give you all kinds of luxury and big piles of money and all this foolishness, but he's going to provide everything you need for your walk, whatever length of time you're here. Your vat of meal will never go dry. Your oil will never run out. Your food supply and your anointing will never run out because he's with you. Huh? No worry about anything. That takes all the stress away, doesn't it? If you talk to the doctors, the biggest killer today of people in the United States or the world is stress. Creates all other problems. Okay, so he said there's going to be a way left for the remnant of the other, when they come out of Egypt, and then into the 12th chapter of the first verse. And in that day when that is provided for you, you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you, or I will give thanks to you. Although you were angry or displeased with me, your anger is turned away and you comforted me. When it comes to the place when you see God in the way he really is, your whole attitude changes. Your whole mindset changes. It goes all the way back to when Jacob wrestled with God. They were wrestling on that. Now when people are wrestling, they're not happy with each other. But when he wrestled him all night long, didn't he? Yep. In the time of ignorance, and as long as you're ignorant, guess what you're going to do with God? You're going to wrestle him. But when the day star rose for Jacob, guess what happened? He grabbed him and said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. See? It's the same thing that he's telling you here. There's only one message of this book. The whole Bible, there's one message about Christ. Okay, but just told in so many different ways. And to God to let you see all these multifaceted views of him is so beautiful to see that it's witnessed in so many ways.
Going from seeing that it's not my way of seeing it that's right, that's ignorant of God, yeah, to being enlightened, seeing the way we
his way.
It's God's way.
It's not your way, it's Yahweh.
Yes.
Okay. Verse 2 it says, Behold, my God is what?
Deliverance.
Deliverance is what it should be. We don't have to worry about being saved because he died on the tree for us, right? But when was that lamb slain?
Before the foundation.
before the foundation of the world. So do we have to worry about being saved?
No.
No. Kind of blows the altar call, don't it? We need to be delivered from one thing, our way of thinking. Mm-hmm. We need that mind of Christ. Now I want to take you a little further. Didn't he say, I'm going to tell you in Ezekiel, I'm going to take out that stony heart and give you a new heart? Yes. That's the mind of Christ. What are you doing about it? Are you giving yourself a heart transplant? I don't think so. God's going to do the transplant. See? It's all about him. Just like we said in Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Mm-hmm. Though they be like red like crimson, they'll be white like wool. What did you have to do with it? Nothing. He's already took care of this matter. See? It's already taken care of. Yeah. If we can get that through our head, man, we've got a hold of a big chunk of something. Behold, God is my deliverance. I will trust and not fear, because Yahweh, okay, is my strength and my song. He also is my deliverance. The word salvation there is the same word, deliverance. Deliverance. And he didn't say he is become. The word become shouldn't be there. Cross that word out. That's an added word. He is my deliverance. He always has been, always will be. Whatever God does is eternal. God doesn't do temporary things. Whatever he does, he finishes it. Verse 3, and this is, I like this verse. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And again, deliverance. But let me rephrase it the way it should be stated. Therefore with joy you shall draw the word out of the source of your deliverance. You're going to draw not out of a well of something, but out of the source. That word wells should be source. And out of the source of your deliverance. What is your deliverance? Christ. Where is Christ? Within you. So you're going to learn to draw from the internal. The church world is all focused on the external. But God lives inside of his people. And we've got to get our focus back inside. Because there's where our deliverance comes from. From within. From the source. And it says, you shall draw water. What is the water? The Word of God. So you're going to draw the Word of God out of the source of your deliverance, from within.
And it says, thy word is truth.
Thy word is truth.
So that truth is going to
come out of the Christ that's within you as an individual. I'm not saying you don't read the book, you don't study, but I'm saying the Spirit of God in you is going to open it up so you can see those words to understand them. Because he tells you to study to show yourself approved. See, that's part of it. We're doing some work. And then when God chooses to, he'll pull back the veil and you see whatever he needs you to see.
It's actually, that word would be the actual thought processes, the way God thinks.
Absolutely. It's the mind of God.
That's now, where the forces come from.
Did not Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Okay, if we see Jesus, well, then the mind of Christ is the mind of who? Mind of the Father. Mind of God. See? If, I mean, but other religious people, oh, you can't say things like that. Well, yeah, you can. I just did. But, you know, that's what you have to do. You have to say what's within your heart. What's in your mind. What God has placed within you. That is your thing to do. If God has given me this to do, I'm going to do it. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. It doesn't make any difference, does it? See? And what I say, there's a purpose for it. Maybe not even for me, but for somebody. And these walls don't contain these words, do they?
No.
We know they're getting recorded right there and it'll be on the World Wide Web shortly. See? And they're going all over the world, people listening to it. So it doesn't make any difference. It's something that needs to be said. Somebody will say it. I got an email one time from a guy down in eastern Kentucky. He said, thank God you got the guts to say what we need to hear. I mean, he's close enough, he could come and visit, you know, but he's never come back. He called a few times, just once on the phone, and he sent an email, and that was it. But he said, I thank God you got the guts. I need to hear this. But, you know, they're afraid to tell anybody. I even had a Catholic priest call me once from West Virginia. And he said, would you send me your whole series on the Book of Revelation? He said, man, I need that. Never heard from him since. He's using it for whatever he wants to. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference, you know. None of my business.
Well, they only do a little excerpt, so he's still probably in.
He's still doing it. It's only been 5 or 6 years. About 10 years. He's still doing it. That's been 10 years ago. Okay. Verse 4. And in that day, and what day are we talking about?
The day of the Lord.
See, it's the day of the Lord, the day we're in right now. The day of the Lord started for you whenever he dealt with you. And it's a continuing thing. That day is never end. It's not a 24-hour period. It's not day and night, day and night, day and night. It's the time of God, and there's no darkness in him. Didn't he say that? So how could there be any night? It's all light. And he says, in that day you shall say praise or give thanks or worship the Lord. Call upon his name. The word name is the Hebrew word shame, and it means nature, character, authority. So call upon his nature. See, it's not saying Jesus or Jehovah or one of these, all these different Hebrew or Greek names. That's not what it's about. It's calling upon his nature and his character. That's what's important. At the time Jesus walked the earth, there was many kids that were named Jesus. Jesus. Like the Mexicans, the Spanish call Jesus. And Yeshua. Yeah. There were many kids called that same name. But so it wasn't about the word Jesus. It was about the nature and the character he lived in. You know, he confronted the religious people who were much older than him when he was 12 years old. In their culture, that was an absolute no-no, but it was the truth. He confronted them with truth. See? And in that little passage in the Gospels, when he went back, it was in Mark, I believe, when he said, when he went back and they found him, after 3 days they found him, 3 days, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, they went back and they found him teaching in the temple, And the third day is when you're going to get the temple. Isaiah says that too. Whom shall you teach knowledge? Those are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Here a little and there a little. Yeah. But you have to leave those first two realms to get to where you're going to be taught. So when he was being taught in the temple, he was in there teaching. And when they came back, what did his parents say to him? Why have you done this? Why have you done this to us like this? You know, it was like a disgrace. And what did he say? Yeah, the King James says, I must be about my Father's business. The word business isn't there. I must be about my Father or near my Father or like my Father. Not about a business. You do what you got to do when you got to do, and it's not about man's rules and regulations. I'm going to step over that thing and go on. That's what we have to realize. It's about his nature and character. He said, declare his doings among the people. The word make shouldn't be there. Mention his nature and character, the mention that his name and character and authority is exalted. It's the same word, shame, again down there. But he says to make it known, declare his doings among the people. How do you declare what God does among the people? Now this is where the church world messes it all up. They think you got to stand on the street corner like some Baptist preacher I know around here real close and scream, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell, you know.
I would think it would be by your example.
It's by your actions. Yeah, and you're producing the Christ in your life and walking that in your life. There's how you declare his doings. Look what he's done in me. And you don't have to say a word. You walk what you're supposed to. You live your life the way you're supposed to. And it will speak volumes. Just like... And it's funny sometimes the things that people look at you and see and hear, you know, their mind runs wild with them. I went into a restaurant one time and I was waiting in a town close by. I was waiting to meet with some people to discuss some problems they was having. And I sat in a restaurant and it happened to be my wife's mother worked in this restaurant. I didn't even see her. I mean, you know, but this restaurant she worked in years ago. And when I was done, there was no one in there I knew. And I had a little New Testament with me, and I just pulled it out and started reading it. Didn't speak a word except when the wait time I could have a refill, a drink or something, you know. And there was one guy came in and spoke to me across the room and said, hey, Dave, how you doing? I said, hey, how you doing, Jim? And that was it. That was the only words I spoke audible to anybody. But yet she came to my wife and she said, I heard about him up there showing himself, preaching and yelling all over the place. I was sitting there reading the book. And they wouldn't have known it was a Bible because it was a little tiny slimline thing. I mean, it could have been a checkbook or something I was reading, you know, who knew? But that's the way people perceive things and talk about things. And your lifestyle stirs people. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put a light on other things by just living your life. Not by pointing a finger and screaming and hollering at people to do things, but just live your life. Don't worry about what nobody else thinks. Just live it. and the whole thing will change. Verse 5, the word sing right there means more than just sing. It says play a musical instrument accompanied by the voice. So it's not just sing to the Lord. Say play a musical instrument accompanied with your voice. Because he has done what? Excellent or majestic things. This is known in where?
On your earth.
In my earth. I don't know about somebody else's, but it's known in mine and yours, you know. It should be known in all the earth, shouldn't it? And the next verse just backs it up. Cry aloud and shout for joy, it should say. It just says shout, but it should say shout for joy. And the word thou or you shouldn't even be there. It should say cry and shout aloud, shout for joy, inhabitant of Zion. What is Zion? Third covenant, dust, sand, stars, first, second, third day, you know, Ophel, Moriah, Zion, the three mountains of Jerusalem, everything. It's a third realm, the third covenant. It's the highest place that you can reach in the three realms. Jesus said in the first 2 days he'd do miracles and cures, and on the third day he would be perfected. If he's perfected in the third day, the third covenant, where are we going to be perfected?
Same place.
So we got to do the same things. And go on with this sixth verse says, because great is the Holy One, right? And it should say this, it should just say it this way. For great is God, the God of Israel. Great is the God of Israel. In the what? That word mist means the center of you. Not like he's sitting out on the floor in the middle of us. He's in the midst of you. He's in the center of you. Great is the Holy One of Israel in you, in the center of you. And until you understand that it's talking about in the center of you as an individual, you're still going to have religion as an external source. Correct? Now, I want to take you to something to verify this. I taught this a long time ago in Matthew chapter 5, quite a few years ago. Verse 18. Well, actually, I'm going to read 17, 18, and both. Think not that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Okay? Or to finish it. Verse 18 says, because verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Now, let me go ahead and explain something here. Till heaven and earth pass is a concept. Okay, that's in Matthew 5. Okay, till heaven and earth pass is a concept. When I say heaven, what most people do?
Look up.
Okay. And if I say earth, what do they do? So there's a space between them, isn't there? So God's saying this, until heaven and earth, the concept of heaven and earth pass, this concept of a separation between you and God passes and you come together as you really are. He said in the Old Testament, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Has he ever left you? No. If he had, you'd be a pile of dust on the floor. Okay. So we have to realize that until this concept is out of our mind, not one iota or one of the minutest part shall by in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. So what he's saying, until you get this concept out of your head, and this is what's holding the church down, God's up there waiting for him to come back. Hello, he's here. He's here in us, isn't he? Until that concept is gone, there's no way you can get out from under the law. The law can't be fulfilled till that's gone. He said nothing's going to change about the law. Not one jot, one tittle, not one iota, not one of the minutest parts of the law will be fulfilled until you get this out of your thinking process.
You're teaching you're less than. It would be almost like you telling your child you're less than me because...
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. The church is teaching them you are less than your father. And our children, those children sitting right there are exactly as you. And God's not teaching anything different than that right there. And you do it and the church say, oh, you're a heretic. Well, okay, call me that.
But they say seed produces like kind.
Yeah.
But they're saying your seed...
But God's seed's not going to produce a like kind. Didn't God put his seed within us?
Yes.
Paul even made a statement I like. He said, you say I'm a heretic because of the way I worship my God? Cool. Go ahead. Go ahead and call me heretic because I worship my God in the true sense of the Spirit. And Paul wasn't talking about worship of singing and dancing, but he was walking and living the same way Jesus. Did Jesus run around singing and dancing and clapping his hands? I mean, come on. See, that's Old Testament law and pattern of the law. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, but if you do it for the right reason, not because someone told you that's what you're supposed to do. If you really want to worship God, that's fine, but worship is imitation.
These verses we just read, mm-hmm. That's worshiping God.
Sure, we're studying what we're told to do.
No, I'm talking about the proclamation that they made in the...
To understand them is...
Yeah. That is worshiping God, to know that awareness that Christ is in you. That's the worship.
Well, to be like Him, He said, when He's revealed, we know we'll be just like Him. Mm-hmm. Well, then why are they telling us we're crazy when we say it? We are just like Him.
But that's always been, even when Jesus said He is, I am that I am. I mean, that He was like
said,
God.
He said, I am. They said, you're a heretic.
No, you're not.
Yeah. And see, again, we have to realize that they can't see what we see.
Right. And we can't be beat down.
We can't beat them down.
We can't beat ourselves down.
And we can't beat them down either.
Right.
Yeah. We can't beat them down.
Well, they believe that Jesus is the only Son.
That's what they believe.
Yeah.
And if you read that, he was the first begotten Son. First of many brethren. See? And that number many doesn't say how many. And it's not 144,000, literally. Well, even Jehovah's Witness would be very smart if he couldn't count any more than that. They got more people than that in their churches today. And how many of them's already passed over? So why are you fooling with anybody else for it? It's wasting your time, if only 144. But they're literalists, so that's okay.
This, we're saying cry out and shout, or six.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually cry out from within, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here, prayers come from with joy and thanks. Thankfulness for what He's done.
Didn't He say He seeks those to worship Him in spirit and truth? Yeah. The only way you can worship God is from internally. See, the internal controls the external, is that right?
Sure.
Your inside controls your outside. So if you're truly worshiping God, it has to come from within. Like you said, it has to be that way. It has to come from the depths of your very spirit. Anything else is soulish. And the Bible talks about soulish worship. Yeah, it's emotional. That's what the church is full of. It's just, if we get real emotional, oh, we had a great service. Why? Oh, I had goosebumps. Can you show me a chapter and a verse for the goosebumps? I mean, I can't get it that way, you know? And I'm not being literal. I'm just saying, there's no inclination at all by the Spirit of God that any of that has anything to do with it. Emotions.
Yeah. But I mean, you can.
Absolutely. I have emotions when God deals with me, it's like anybody else, but that's not the key.
Well, that's personal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Can't share my goosebumps with anybody else. Anything else? Like I say, it was a short one this morning, but that's okay.